Jean Henri's 1959 play Becket is the one about England's medieval Archbishop of Canterbury, Thomas of Becket. And he's the one who got stabbed to death at the altar by assassins sent by his former bosom pal, King Henry II. The play was made into the 1964 Oscar-nominated film starring Peter O'Toole and Richard Burton. It was last seen in the West End with Derek Jacobi and Robert Lindsay in 1991. Now the play has been revived at the Theatre Royal Haymarket by John Caird, starring Dougray Scott as Becket and Jasper Britton as Henry Plantagenet. It's essentially a buddy tragedy in which two actors start out as sparring partners drinking, whoring and hunting. But then Henry decides to make Thomas Archbishop of Canterbury. Quite unexpectedly, Becket takes the role seriously and sets about being a religious pain in Henry's backside. With me to discuss the play are Heather Neal, John Nathan and Adam Scott. Heather, was it a good idea to revive this play?
I don't think it was a good idea to revive it with this translation, anyway. I thought the translation drew so much attention to itself. This is Frederick Raphael and his son, Stephen, who have translated this anew, and it's full of modern vulgarisms such as give him a kick up the arse if you'll pardon my French and let's get plastered and it's chucking it down and so on. It's not so much that the register is wrong as that it draws attention to itself so much that you keep thinking, oh, what a funny phrase, instead of listening to what the point of the conversation is. I also wonder if it was a good thing to revive it in this theatre with this kind of production, because it's such a glamorous theatre. It seems to ask for something more lavish. This is a very minimal production. I wondered if it might have worked better, but not with this translation anyway, in a smaller venue. I mean, there's no chance for any kind of intensity here.
Okay, and John, I mean, this is essentially a Greek tragedy. I mean, were you not moved by the epic conflicts between church and state, honour and shame, buddy and buddy?
It nearly moved me out of the building. I mean, I was bored more than anything, I'm afraid. I mean, you can latch onto for some of the 2 hours 40 minutes onto some of the ideas that are knocking around in the play. I haven't seen it before, so I've only got this bad translation to go on. There are, for instance, ideas about Becket being a Saxon. I'm not sure he was a Saxon, actually.
I think he was a Norman.
He was a Norman.
Yeah.
But there are interesting things that come out of that historical inaccuracy, if you like. The sense of an occupying power and the friction between Henry and Becket's Saxon as being, you know, a representative of an occupied population. But my God, you really have to look for these, you know, significant ideas and this battle between church and state. Again, it's there to be found, but it's just repeated and not really interestingly explored.
Okay, I mean, Adam, you must have some thoughts about Dougray Scott as well. He's described as being a Saxon, and yet he has a Scottish accent, which is quite curious. With Norman or Saxon, I don't know. He certainly, either way, it's not a Scottish accent. And the accents, you can't pretend the accents weren't relevant when actually we had a French accent for the French king, and we had an Italian, had absolutely a preposterous Italian accent for the Pope and Cardinal.
Absolutely.
But setting that aside, actually, if you don't mind me, sorry. what I actually wanted to get onto was the staging. I mean, it's full of a fair bit of improvisation and theatricality. I mean, did it hang together for you?
I wanted to say about the accents. My favourite part of the whole night was when Dougray Scott drew himself up to his full height and said, "I'm a Saxon." Well, it was just fantastic. The funniest things I've ever seen. The staging, I think the whole production's limitations are Dougray Scott's limitations. The production was built around his limitations in accent, his lack of physical presence. Everything was built to accommodate Dougray Scott when he was on. Jasper Britton, the saving grace of the evening, I thought was working furiously hard with Dougray Scott and turned in a fantastic performance. I thought he worked particularly well in the second act when Dougray Scott was backstage. The great problem with the trajectory there, though, is that Dougray Scott's backstage, Beckett is backstage almost all of the second act, and the more he gets talked about, the bigger he becomes and the more impressive he becomes, and then this fella from Fife comes on pointing, you know, and it's with pointing with one arm in Act 1 and pointing with both arms in Act 2. It was, so the limitations of the staging were entirely Dougray Scott's limitations. I think John Caird was a great director and was hamstrung.
Sure, I was less convinced. I think you're right that Jasper Britton was, you know, is really does struggle to hold the play together, but he didn't succeed for me. In some ways, though, the heterosexual sort of backstory to this is a bit of a sort of red herring, because in fact there's quite a strong homoerotic element to this story, and with Henry's affection for Beckett not being requited. I mean, did this come across, John?
Yeah, it came across because it was repeated over and over again. I agree about Jasper Britton. He was the one interesting thing on stage, and he exposes himself both emotionally and physically. The opening scene is where he disrobes and he's standing there naked, about to receive the penance for the death of Beckett, which is obviously his fault. They make as much of the homoerotic relationship as you know as it's possible to make, and it is actually an interesting aspect as a dramatic aspect to that relationship and to the play, but you know we're talking about 2 hours 40 here.
Absolutely. And were there any other notable performances, Adam?
It's very much it's a two-star play. It's very much a hats and coats play for the other actors, or the habits and mitres play for the other actors.
And lots of different ones in this case.
Indeed, Jem. Indeed. So difficult to say. The King of France was Michael Fitzgerald, King Louis. I thought was wonderful. Who bubbled just underneath High Camp and just kept it simmering there. I thought he was good.
Frothed over for me, I'm afraid.
I thought it could have been a lot worse. I really enjoyed that performance.
This is surely an Anglo-Saxon view of a French king rather than an
Well, indeed.
Yeah. And what about Stephen Brimson Lewis's design? How do you feel about that, Heather? You seem to be find it a bit of a letdown after the grandeur of the theatre sort of thing.
No, I like the Norman arch, so that you knew that everything happened according to Norman rules here. I thought that was good. I thought the wooden horses being pushed on by stage management was not such a good idea.
Especially when they started neighing, I thought. That was really pushing the luck too far for me.
Yes, I think they were quite lucky not to get some giggles, actually. At least once you can
They
hear.
Did. My neighbour was certainly giggling.
Yes. Well, I thought that was certainly a mistake. I wondered why there were the balconies were built up at the back. They were used so little. I wondered why they'd gone to the trouble of building the set up at the back, because it was used for.
A bit of old scaffolding. It made my companion rather unkindly suggesting that it was like a production from some Brislington Technical College. But
I'll put in a word for Peter Mumford and the lighting, which I thought was actually very effective.
Yes.
The set took light very well too.
Bethan Bevan's singing, the Welsh singing.
Yeah, okay. Well, on
I
that,
think we might be
on that positive speech. Note. Let us try to leave it to rest in peace. As I'm sure it will do quite soon. Beckett runs at the Theatre Royal Haymarket in London. Heather Neal, John Nathan, Adam Scott. Thank you very much.